You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I spoke to James Usher, who is an associate professor at the University of Otago and a specialist in vaccines. He's also a member of the Vaccine Alliance Aotearoa New Zealand, which is a team of local and international experts with proven capability in vaccine research and development, and they are working to support the COVID-19 vaccine research in New Zealand. We discussed what New Zealand's COVID-19 vaccine strategy looks like and what a vaccine will actually mean for New Zealanders and people across the world. I began by asking James about New Zealand's COVID-19 strategy and what a COVID-19 vaccine will look like when it's here.
So, I mean, I guess the first thing to say is that we need a vaccine as a circuit breaker to be able to relax border restrictions, at least to countries where there's ongoing transmission. Otherwise, we're going to see a reintroduction of virus into what's essentially a susceptible population. So at the moment, things are progressing at a rapid pace overseas. So we've already seen several vaccines that are in phase 3 trials. These represent a range of both novel and traditional technologies, and hopefully there will start to be some clinical trial results, maybe in the first quarter of next year, that will give some indication as to whether those vaccines are effective or not. Certainly the ones that are in phase 3 clinical trials at the moment, they've shown themselves to be effective in protecting against disease at least, even if not necessarily against infections. I think that's a subtle distinction, but an important one. So, I mean, at the end of the day, if we can protect against disease, stop people getting sick, that's the most important thing. If we can stop people from being infectious and being able to pass it on to other people, that would be even better. But the vaccines that are coming through may or may not protect against the people being potentially infectious. We're just going to have to wait and see on that. But certainly in the preclinical and in the animal models, they protected against disease, and some of them protected against infection, very depending upon the model. And in the phase 1 and phase 2 trials to date, we've seen that in people, those vaccines are safe and they can stimulate good immune responses that are similar to what we see in those preclinical animal models and would be what we might expect might provide protection against disease and hopefully against infection.
When you talked about the difference between disease and infection and a vaccine protecting between disease and infection, what is that exactly, that difference?
If you have a vaccine that stops you from getting sick but isn't able to prevent you from having an asymptomatic infection, and there is a possibility that we don't know yet, but people may, if that was the case, they might still be infectious or hopefully have reduced infectiousness or infectivity, but they may possibly still be infectious to others. So it is likely that we might need to still maintain some degree of public health measures after a vaccine. I don't think a vaccine is going to be the golden bullet that's going to suddenly allow us to return to 2019 behaviour. We probably still have periods where we may need to either consider masking or social distancing and continue the contact tracing. But I think having access to a vaccine is a really important part of our return to a degree of normality. And look, I mean, hopefully there will be some of these vaccines, hopefully maybe able to protect against infection as well for a prolonged period of time. We're just going to have to wait and see what the phase 3 efficacy trials show, what the duration of immunity is, and whether or not they are also effective at protecting against that transmission. But, I mean, I'd just like to, I guess, emphasise that while this has been a remarkably quick, or the speed of the response from the scientific community in getting a vaccine through into clinical trials has been exceptional, there is no corner cutting occurring. Things are still, all the normal steps of vaccine development are occurring. It's just that some of that is occurring in parallel rather than sequentially to try and speed up the process. But any vaccine that gets approved by MedSafe, by the regulator, is still going to need to have exactly the same safety data that we would for any other vaccine. It's just that we won't necessarily have the length of data or type, the duration of protection or similar. Won't have some of that longer-term data on any vaccine that gets approved.
James then went on to explain how New Zealand will access the vaccines being developed overseas for COVID-19, what work is being done to ensure that a vaccine is widely accessible to both larger and smaller nations, and also how long a vaccine will protect people from COVID-19.
So coming back, I guess, to New Zealand's vaccine strategy is to try and obviously obtain vaccines early. So we've already seen that the government has made a couple of announcements in that they have made an advanced purchase agreement with Pfizer, and Pfizer's has got one of the mRNA vaccine candidates that is in phase 3 trials at the moment. So those doses will become available over a period of time once those trials are completed. And the government's also said that they're sort of actively negotiating with other companies as well for other advanced purchase agreements to access other leading vaccine candidates. New Zealand's also participating in the COVAX facility, and that's sort of like a group buying facility. A group of countries have got together and they're pre-purchasing a range of vaccines that the facility can then go to manufacturers and purchase vaccines that countries that are part of the facility will be able to access. And that will also provide that sort of balances the risk a bit, and that it's potentially across multiple vaccine candidates.
And is that risk is in sort of, I know there's been a lot of discussion about a successful vaccine being created and then being monopolised by one country and other sort of smaller states, less wealthy states being unable to access it. Is that right?
Yeah, so there are concerns about that. That certainly has happened in the past. We saw that with the swine flu pandemic back in 2009, the vaccines with that. So there is certainly a risk of vaccine nationalism, and the COVAX facility is trying to guard against that, and that's also hedging against some vaccines not working, potentially not working in clinical trials. So if they've got a broad portfolio, then there's more chance that several vaccines within their portfolio will be successful and can then be accessed by those countries. I think the other important thing to say is there's also the COVAX AMC, which is trying to provide vaccines for developing countries or low- and middle-income countries that might otherwise be unable to purchase themselves. So New Zealand's also contributed to that. So that they'll also be looking at equity of distribution through that COVAX AMC.
I suppose that it does really matter that everybody in the world has access to the vaccine, so that I suppose what I'm trying to say is that it'll be great if everybody has access to it, because then that means we can hopefully have the majority of people across the world without COVID-19, and therefore it won't spread down the track.
Look, I mean, I think we want vaccines to be available everywhere. I mean, as the WHO have said, we need to be broadly vaccinating to in areas where disease is circulating to try and control spread of infection, which is also going to help protect us from the amount of virus that's circulating out there globally. I mean, it's very unlikely, however, a vaccine is going to eliminate SARS coronavirus too. I mean, I think it's likely that it's with us indefinitely now, but hopefully we can control the spread of infection and certainly control the amount of disease through vaccination. I think having vaccine that is available to where it's needed is a really critical part of that, and the equity of access. And that's also an important part of New Zealand's vaccine strategy, is looking out for the Pacific Islands, both those countries within the realm and other Polynesian countries in particular, trying to make sure that we're doing our part to help them access vaccine as well.
And just finally, you did say that this is something we are going to be dealing with probably forever. It's not going to go away. So, you know, obviously when a vaccine is created, and you say that initially they might not be long-term protecting as well, that it's a long road to go.
Yeah, look, we don't know yet what the duration of protection will be. It might be that it lasts for a long time, or it might be that it requires booster doses every year or so. We're only going to find that out with time.
And with people having the vaccine, I suppose.
and with people having the vaccine. I think that's a really critical part of it, is we're going to need people to take up this vaccine to control the spread of this virus and to ameliorate this outbreak. I'm sure with time this will become one of our normal circulating respiratory viruses. But for the moment, we're in a pandemic setting, and we're needing a vaccine as a circuit breaker.
That was Associate Professor and Vaccine Alliance Aotearoa expert James Usher speaking on New Zealand's vaccine strategy.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.